Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So one of the hashtags critical of Donald Trump that goes around social media is hashtag nothing matters, which means he'll say anything at any time if it suits his purposes at that moment, but he'll change it up as soon as he decides to. Nothing he says matters, hashtag nothing matters. It's a relevant issue now with respect to Obamacare. Trump said this in November after his election on 60 Minutes about repealing and replacing Obamacare.
We're going to do it simultaneously. It'll be just fine. That's what I do. I do a good job. You know, I mean, I know how to do this stuff. We're going to repeal it and replace it. And we're not going to have like a 2-day period, and we're not going to have a 2-year period where there's nothing. It will be repealed and replaced, and we'll know. And it'll be great health care for much less money.
They'll repeal and replace simultaneously, said the president-elect. Now that's looking much more uncertain as Republicans in Congress consider repealing without immediately replacing the health insurance that 20 million Americans get through the Obamacare law. Democratic New Jersey Senator Cory Booker reacted to that prospect this way yesterday on CBS Face the Nation.
This is akin to shoving someone off the cliff and as they're falling down saying, don't worry, we're going to figure this out before you get to the bottom.
With me now to explain the emerging politics of repeal and maybe replace is Jennifer Habercorn, senior healthcare reporter for Politico. She's been covering the Affordable Care Act since it was a mere baby, since it was being debated in Congress in 2009. Thanks for coming on, Jennifer. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
I know Republicans in Congress have been furiously debating this among themselves. Is it clear at this point that they plan to repeal the Affordable Care Act without a simultaneous replacement?
That's definitely the direction they're headed in. This Trump tweet that you mentioned and, emerging kind of anxiety from Republicans about repeal without an immediate replacement is perhaps, prompting some Republicans to hit the brakes on this plan. We have several Republicans who have said, we're skeptical about repealing without an immediate replacement because we don't want the people in our states to go without health insurance coverage. Whether that's actually going to, stop any of this repeal action is a big question mark, but it's definitely given people some anxiety to give a second look to the idea.
Well, because we have plenty of listeners who do get their health insurance via the Obamacare exchanges or the expanded Medicaid program under Obamacare. Is it clear in the repeal now, replace later blueprint what would happen to the 20 million or so Americans in that boat?
I mean, in theory, what Republicans are saying is that they want a smooth transition period so that once the repeal vote happens, the transition period will go into effect probably for like 2 or 3 years, and that a new plan would be in place. In reality, that's far less certain. There's insurers and supporters of the ACA who are saying as soon as you take that repeal vote, the system is going to start to unravel. Because if you think about an insurance company, they have to start making their plans for 2018 in a couple months. So why would they stay in the market if they don't know what's coming next? Insurers are already having a hard time with Obamacare. It clearly wasn't the smooth rollout that they were hoping for or expected. So to convince them to stay in the market in anticipation of some plan that we don't know yet is kind of a tough ask. So what the supporters of the ACA argue is that once that repeal vote happens, this is all going to start to unravel, even if Republicans have intentions of a smooth transition period.
Although insurance companies don't have to be on the Obamacare exchanges now, and we know that some have left as it is after testing the waters and I guess deciding they were losing money or not making enough money. So why would they flee further? If they're there because they're making money, why wouldn't they stay unless it's pulled out from under them?
Well, the argument is that the insurers are, going through the rough years right now in anticipation of this becoming more smooth and it being a moneymaker, and there's going to be this pool of consumers who need insurance coverage. So they're sticking around for the later years. They're not sticking in it for these kind of lean years.
I see. So
I could see the argument.
To the Trump clip that I played from 60 Minutes, Has the president-elect threatened to veto any bill that does not replace that insurance coverage with another system to keep his promise to the public from that clip?
No, he hasn't. And interestingly, Rand Paul tweeted something somewhat similar on Friday. He said that Donald Trump fully supports his plan for simultaneous repeal and replace. He said that he had just talked to Trump. But then Kellyanne Conway and went on the Sunday shows this weekend and said, it kind of hedged that and said it depends on what kind of replace legislation it is. So she was very vague about what Donald Trump actually wants to do.
And you quote Mike Pence in one of your articles the other day saying any replacement plan would come from Congress, not the White House. Why would Trump and Pence allow that rather than introduce their own plan?
You know, that's a good question, but I think some of that is they saw the lessons of the past on health care. You know, Hillary Care, as it was called in the 90s, was very White House driven, and it failed because it was the White House kind of telling Congress what to do. So, I mean, Congress at the end of the day is the one that has to take the tough votes on this legislation. If we think about how controversial the Obamacare vote was in 2010, you know, this is going to be even more controversial. So it's not really in their interest to have a White House-driven plan that could fail. If something could get through Congress, it's hard to see how Donald Trump, I mean, I guess we shouldn't speculate too much on what Donald Trump might do because he has been very surprising. But if a plan actually is able to get through Congress with Republican votes, it's hard to see Donald Trump vetoing it. It's much harder to see the other way around happening.
And it is kind of the same thing that Obama did, actually. His team remembered that the Clinton health reform in the 90s, as you referred to, was developed and introduced by Bill and Hillary. And it failed in Congress, even though there was a Democratic Congress at that time. So Obama proposed guidelines in 2009 and let the Democratic Congress develop it and a version that was able to pass, even though it wasn't exactly what he wanted. So that's the model that I guess Trump's people are using now. But he's expressed no bottom line on what would be acceptable or unacceptable, like pre-existing conditions or keeping people up to age 26 on their parents' plans, which Trump has said in the past that he supports. Or has he indicated any kind of bottom line?
He has voiced support, and particularly Mike Pence was on the Hill last week and in voiced support for pre-existing conditions in age 26. So it is likely to see both of those in any Republican plan, though the Republican idea of pre-existing conditions is a little different than what the Democrats have right now. We can go into that if you want, but I think anything is going to be, you know, a stark comparison with the Affordable Care Act.
James in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, James.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm actually calling to suggest that it is possible to keep a plan, the ACA, that we are beneficiary for, the subsidies, and allow the Trump group to come out with a new plan. And then we people have a choice between staying on ACA or going to Trump's new plan. And whoever has the better plan that benefits most people down the line can be considered to be the national plan policy for insurance in America. Why is it that we have to be disturbed because somebody comes in the house and does not like what is happening? What's going to happen after 4 years? If we don't like what is coming out, are we going to go change it again?
Probably so. James, thank you. And, you know, James, what James lays out would be a very nice world if it was the world that we lived in, where Obamacare was in place for people who had served well, where there was a new simultaneous health care system for people who it served well, and there would be that much choice. But, Jennifer, besides the fact that we live in a hyper-polarized political environment making that impossible, it also would be economically impossible, wouldn't it? Because it's so complicated as it is to make the budget balance under Obamacare, you know, in order to cover more people, you have the individual mandate, so there's enough money going into the system, and then there are the various taxes, et cetera, to have two of those big Rube Goldberg contraptions at the same time. that couldn't really happen, could it, unfortunately?
Right. I mean, I would think that's the only scenario in which this would be even more complicated than it is right now, because you're right, under the Affordable Care Act and presumably under a Republican plan, there's different taxes that are applied to different healthcare constituencies. I assume those would be different under a Republican plan. You have the individual mandate. Republicans are likely to have something more like a incentive to stay insured and make it harder if you do go without coverage to get into the system, whereas right now you can get into the system whenever you want. So there's a whole, you know, Obamacare is not just a health insurance plan. It's a whole law with many, many parts that would be hard to have a simultaneous system at the same time.
Bob in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi there. Thank you. I'm on Obamacare. I have no health issues, but without Obamacare, I'd have to go without insurance. Now, it seems like many people in this country are very unhappy with their health care, whether it's Obamacare or not, and they're blaming everything on Obamacare. Now, yesterday on Meet the Press, Chuck Todd had a survey. Many of the counties in this country that have the most people that went on Obamacare went for Trump heavily by maybe 30 or 40%. And I believe a Republican congressman from upstate New York somewhere said, we do not want people to be cut off, even if it takes a couple of years. We do not want people to go without insurance, no gap. Yet Paul Ryan said recently, the speaker, we're going to repeal it, and we're not in a generous mood. So it seems like some Republicans have a heart and are pragmatic, and some of them are just have this anger about it. How is this going to play out within the Republican Party?
Jennifer?
There are so many layers to Obamacare politics, it's kind of crazy. You know, right now, Democrats, he's right. Democrats are blaming or are blamed for anything that goes wrong in healthcare right now. And everybody blames Obamacare. You know, you could be, your doctor could be running an hour late and someone will blame it on the Affordable Care Act, which obviously it has nothing to do with the healthcare law. And, you know, Republicans are kind of risking when they repeal. They're going to have the same situation. Democrats are going to blame them for everything that goes wrong in the healthcare system because they repealed the Affordable Care Act. And those are kind of, you know, questionable politics for Republicans to be stepping in right now, because Republicans don't have the answer right now for what they're going to do on the ACA, and they risk everything that goes wrong in healthcare being blamed on them. So, you know, the politics of this are extremely tough, and there's a lot of different layers going on.
And really, since so many people with Obamacare policies are people who don't have great employment, you know, the kind of employment that would give you health insurance through work, who are so many of the sort of underemployed working class Trump supporters. And I think part of the Meet the Press report yesterday that Bob was talking about had a good breakdown of, you know, how many counties that Trump carried have heavy Obamacare populations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another political reality that they're going to have to take into account. Even if a lot of those people hope their health insurance is made better and aren't happy with some of the provisions and some of the costs of Obamacare policies, they don't want the rug pulled out from under them. They want it made better. But before you go, you wrote about how Democrats are looking for a strategy to fight repeal, and one strategy is to flood the process with amendments once mm-hmm. this actually comes before the Congress, forcing uncomfortable votes for Republicans on specific Obamacare provisions. Do you know what some of those amendments might be? Can you give our listeners a taste of some of the more either colorful or politically divisive or meaningful ones that they might throw up there?
Sure. This is the process in the Senate when they vote on a budget or a bill that passes under this procedure that they plan to do repeal under, in which any amendment that is brought up gets a vote, unlike other times in the year when, you know, the Senate takes very few amendment votes. This will be, you know, probably dozens of amendments. And I'm expecting Democrats to put forward provisions like forcing Republicans to vote against this age 26 provision, this requirement that young adults can stay on their parents' plan through age 26. It's very popular, but Democrats will force Republicans to vote against it because, you know, to show how much they want to repeal the law. And Republicans are going to have to kind of stick together and vote no on it. I can also see amendments on things like, you know, repealing the ACA does technically increase the budget deficit. which is typically something Republicans care a lot about. But they don't really believe the, you know, number crunchers when they say that the ACA saves money. So I could see Democrats putting forward something like, highlighting that Republicans are voting to increase the budget deficit by Obamacare repeal.
And just tell me how quickly this is going to happen. When is this debate actually going to take place on the floor?
We're going to have two. One will probably be this week, likely on Wednesday night.
Ooh,
and then there will be
week.
Another one. There'll be another series when the actual repeal vote comes up, which will be several weeks from now.
Jennifer Habercorn, senior healthcare reporter for Politico. She's been covering the Affordable Care Act since 2009. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.